Good evening, and thank you for joining us on Cultivating Hearts Radio Ministry. It's a blessing to be back in the studio with my beautiful sister, Tara.
Yay!
We are going to be studying the book of Acts.
Yay!
Tell it well.
First 12 chapters.
Okay, first 12 chapters of the book of Acts, and it's titled Tell It Well, which I like it. I like the title of that.
I like the title, too. Let me give a little explanation as to why we're going to be doing this series. It's to equip us. It's to equip the saints. We are called out to do and to teach as Jesus did.
Mm.
And in fact, Luke actually opens up this passage of the book of Acts with saying, "Dear Theophilus." Theophilus is a term that means lover of God. And some theologians believe that it's a possibility that the book of Acts was actually a documentation that was intended to go as a presentation to be presented in behalf of Paul when he was in court. And Luke, if you really think about it, Luke began and then Acts is a continuation. It's like one continuous report, mm-hmm. an edict that he has written in behalf to give an eyewitness account of what happened with Jesus so that it would be a support in behalf of Paul. And so that's the idea behind how Acts is written out. Now, what most people don't know, Luke and Acts combined equals out to a fourth of the New Testament. I mean, this is really important. The document wow. that Luke has written, Luke and Acts, it's one fourth of the whole New Testament. And so what he has written as an eyewitness, someone who was there with Christ, mm-hmm. someone who was there with Peter and with the disciples, as all of this was happening, he wrote out to the best of his ability what he saw and what he heard that Jesus came to do and to teach. And as I was reflecting on, I guess, the next level of what I want to see happen in my life, I want to be a person who can take the word of God and tell it well. And, you know, it's one thing to know something, but it's another thing to be able to say it right and to say it well. And that's where my prayers started centering. And because I've been doing research on biblical storying or chronological storying of the Bible or telling the Bible in your own words, Bible narrative, there's many different names for it. We've been using that here on the radio show where once a month I will tell the story of the passages that we will actually study. And that's what we will do with the book of Acts. And in a minute, I'm going to study story for you, Acts 1. And being able to communicate it in our own words is what equips us to be able to reach people wherever we're at. If we cannot tell the Bible mm-hmm. in our own words, then it's not really a Bible that we own, because the Bible that we own is the Bible that you know. And if you know it, you can tell it. If you only know it for the sake of knowing, then it's not a true Bible. Because the Bible is the living word. It's meant to be active.
Right.
And so the Bible we own is the Bible we know, but it's the Bible we tell. And in this case, for Tell It Well series, in the particular Bible study that I have written, I take a different translation for each day of the week. And the learner, the person who works the workbook, will do a very simple inductive Bible study through five different translations of the Bible, looking at the people, the place, the plot, the purpose, the plan, and then how to pray it. And in the process, I provide them stories of different people that have actually walked the walk and do and tell well of modern day people doing examples. The different translations we use are NIV, the King James, the Holman Christian Standard, the Amplified, and then we end the week with a story, the Message. And it's been a lot of fun. I'm having a lot of great feedback because I have people working it in different places all over the city and on the internet. And I've been excited. I had a friend from Pennsylvania email me this week, and she's just so excited she can't stand it. She's like, "I'm learning so much." And then I had a college student that lives about an hour and a half away here in Nebraska contact me 2 weeks ago to let me know that she'd been pondering these things, and then she opened up the Bible study, and she met God in something that she had already been reflecting on, and it really spoke to her heart. So wow. It's been exciting to see the outcome of what's going on within it. So let's begin with, I'm going to tell you the story of Acts chapter 1. If you want, you can open your Bibles and follow along. Remember that I'm going to tell it in a summary. I'm going to tell it in my own words. So it's not a Bible memorization. There's a place for Bible memorization. What I have found, I am actually memorizing more of the Bible than I ever have by learning to tell it in my own words, which is Bible internalization. And so that's going to be a key phrase I really want us to get. It's the difference between memorization, it's internalization, literally owning it, making it my own. Everything in the Bible is true. I'm going to story now, Acts 1. My dear beloveds, I have written this to you about what Jesus began to do and to teach before he was taken up into heaven. During his time of suffering and afterwards, when he rose up, he walked on this earth for 40 days to show us that he was alive and that he was well. And he came up to us and the disciples, and he said, I want you to stay in Jerusalem. I don't want you to leave, because the Holy Spirit is going to come and you need to wait for him. And the disciples looked at him and said, does this mean that the kingdom of heaven is coming? And he says, no, wait a minute. Hold on. It's not for you to know the times or the seasons. That's for the Father, and only the Father knows these things. What I want you to do is I want you to wait in Jerusalem, because when the Holy Spirit comes, he will come upon you in power so that you can be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, to the outermost parts of the world. And just as he was saying that, he began to rise up in a cloud. And as he rose up in the cloud, we were watching him. And he just disappeared. Suddenly, there were these two men standing beside us in white. And they said, why are you looking for him? Don't you know he's going to come back again? Well, we left immediately and we went to Jerusalem. We did exactly as Jesus asked, and we went to a place where we gathered together and we devoted ourselves to prayer. And we prayed and we prayed. We prayed for 10 days. While we were praying, there was about 120 of us that gathered, and Peter stood up and he said, men, and he goes, just as the prophets told that Judas would walk among us and that he would hand Jesus over to the mob, and he goes, it happened just as they said, and he sold him out and then bought the land and hung himself and died on his own land, and it's now just a field of blood and no one will live there. But the prophets said that we needed to replace him and fulfill the position of leadership that he had amongst us when he walked with Christ. So we need to look amongst us and see who in our group that has walked with Jesus and has seen him and been a witness that would be good to fill that position. Well, the group got together and they discussed it and they talked about it and they thought, well, what about Barsabbas? He would be good. You know, the one that they called Justice? And somebody else said, well, what about Matthias? So Peter prayed a prayer and said, Lord, you are the one that knows all men's hearts. Show us the one that you want. And they took the lots and they cast them, and the lots chose Matthias to be the next apostle. Thank you, God, for the storing of his word. May his word be honored. Okay, that is Acts 1, essentially in a summary of my own telling of what happened. And what I want you to see and understand is they were standing there watching an extraordinary event. Okay? Jesus came very ordinary, didn't he? I mean, his entrance into this earth was a lowly baby in a manger and hay wrapped in swaddling clothes. I mean, he really had a very humble birth. Mm. And when he died on the cross and rose from the grave, walked on this earth and showed the disciples that he really is alive, he needed them to catch and to understand he had to leave. He could not stay. Because if Jesus in flesh remained on this earth, the promise of the gift of the Holy Spirit could not come. And he had to leave. And in order for it to be evident that they know what they know, without a doubt, he had to leave in an extraordinary way. You know, it wasn't something that he was just going to disappear and they're all going to say, where's Jesus? It was he ascended in a cloud and he was no more. I mean, it was an extraordinary event so that they could see he was leaving this physical earth and going back to the spiritual realm. And then he gave them some things that he wanted them to do. I just imagine the disciples sitting there that day watching and listening, because they still aren't quite understanding yet what Christ is trying to get them to grasp. Okay. And we know that because he's talking to them about what he wants them to do. And they're still trying to find this big kingdom thing. You know, is this the time that the kingdom's going to come? Tells us clue number one, they still don't get it, that Jesus has come. And that, you know, it's in process, but it's not for us to know the things of God. Even Jesus doesn't know those things. And so getting them to understand what's happening, it's an crucial part of what's going on. And so one of the things that I'm going to do is I'm going to walk us through the next 4 weeks looking at just Acts 1. I mean, there's so much here that you're going to, if you could see me in the studio, I have a workbook with notes. I have a Bible with notes. I have a ring binder with notes. And then I have a printer, printed paper with notes of things that I'm really excited about what we're going to catch from these guys. And for the next year, we are going to walk through Acts 1 through 12 and to see what Jesus began to do and to teach. Now, I was really surprised that when I was studying and looking at the different translations, the reason why we're using the different translations, it's not so much that we're saying this translation is right and this one's wrong.
Right.
Because what I want you to understand is that anything that's not the original text is a paraphrase. It's a translation. Mm-hmm. Anything that's not in the original language, right, it is our interpretation of what that said. We're taking the translations so that we can see special nuances or choices of words, because it really teaches us something new. I was absolutely astounded. Every single translation keeps this phrase the same. Every single translation says, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up. Now, I want you to understand it's Jesus began. And the reason why I want us to get this is he began it. We're to continue it. That's why the series is called Tell It Well. It didn't end when he rose in those clouds up to heaven. He began what the Father sent him to do to save us from our sin. He began the process, and salvation is made known. But that process must continue by us as believers of the Lord Jesus Christ, continuing the work that Jesus began, and to be in the process of telling it well, so that all who are in our presence can hear what Jesus came to do and to teach. And it's not a difficult thing. I think I sent out an email, I sent out on Facebook, I asked people, why are you afraid? Why are you afraid to witness? Now, Sabrina, I want you to think back, because I know you're not afraid anymore. I know you don't hold back. But when you were afraid, where did your fears come from, and who were you most afraid to tell?
I think the insecurities came from not knowing enough. What if I say it wrong? What if I give them misinformation?
That
it's better just not to say anything. And I think the people that are the hardest are probably the family, like my real intimate family, sure, your mother, father, brothers.
Yeah.
Those are the hardest people for me to witness to.
Right.
Strangers, neighbors, fine. But people that I don't know why that is.
You know, and it was consistent across the board. It was family was the number one reason people wrote in and told me that of the people that they were most afraid of. The number one reason people were afraid was what you just said. You nailed exactly what most people wrote. Each person wrote it in their own words. But
right.
Was the fear of not knowing it well enough,
yeah,
and not being in the fear of messing up.
Mm-hmm. That's huge.
It is.
Because you're
huge.
Accountable for every word that comes out of your mouth.
I know.
And I don't want to be the one that says it wrong.
I know. But, you know, we have to let go of that fear, because
right.
that fear is not from God.
Right.
And something amazing happens when we read our Bible, doesn't it, Sabrina? The more you know, are you more afraid or less afraid?
Less afraid. That, absolutely less afraid.
And it's the consistent knowing the Word of God. I want to share with you something that happened to me. We have in the last 2 weeks prior to this session, you can go back and catch those on the podcast if you want to go back and listen. I taught myself how to story and summary the Bible. Now, I am not saying this in a form of bragging in any way, shape, or form. I have read through the Bible so many times. I don't know how many times I've read through. I've been doing this. I started, I think, 1993. And I don't know, off and on, many times I've read the Bible through. And but I still would have to say, even though I've read through, I really struggle. And that's even with seminary, studying church history and everything. I really struggle sometimes when I'm in Kings and Samuel and the Chronicles, and knowing now who's who and why is this, and how are they related and what battle, I get confused.
Yeah.
When I prepared the story and summary of the Bible so I could tell well in summary the concept of the Bible as a whole, something happened to me to where God revealed to me the big picture. I was better able to see from Genesis to Revelation why things happened. And I can now in a second give you, or not in a second, probably in less than a minute, I could give you a complete outline of the format of the Bible layout. Whereas I couldn't do that before until I learned to story the Bible in summary. I highly recommend you go back and you listen to the recording that I made of the last 2 weeks. It's on in the podcast. It's the 9/11 and 9/18 podcast. And it totally gave me greater understanding God's hand and God's presence and God's longing and God's desire to be in relationship with man, and not just man, me. And so much so that in the time that I was practicing to learn how to story, I was brought to weeping most times when I would read the Bible, because I finally caught some things I had never caught before. It's just been profound. Now, I want you to come back next week, because what we're going to look at is we're going to see how this report ends up becoming convincing evidence in behalf of all believers. God bless.